Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So it was a pretty interesting letter piece of the letter that we heard Paul write this morning. He chose his words carefully. I don't know. Paul was a pretty robust speaker. My mother, on the other hand, was a woman of few words. She chose her words really carefully. So when she spoke, you really paid attention to what she had to say. And I think that comes from her being an only child. She was born of immigrant parents who spoke, you know, German in the house, but when it came time to speak with her, it was no German to be spoken, and so she was to learn English, and so they didn't speak English very well, and they were learning. So I've discovered over the years that my mother was very careful. When she had something to say, you really sort of paid attention. And there was one thing that she would always say, and this is what she would say before she, it was like, don't argue with me. This is a complete statement. Suffice it to say. Have you ever heard that before? Yeah. Right? Have you ever used it, shall I ask?
No.
Oh, you've never used it. Okay. I have found myself saying that sometimes when I was talking to the kids. And what she was saying is, what I'm about to say is sufficient. It needs no further explanation. It is obvious. For example, suffice it to say, you disobeyed me, go to your room. Sounds like I've been to my room a lot, doesn't it, over these past... Yeah, okay. Suffice it to say. I got a call from Mrs. Irving. Your desk was in the hall because you couldn't stop talking. Go to your room. I was a bored child in school. Bored as in B-O-R-E-D. So this would be another thing. Suffice it to say, oh, there's not enough for everyone. Suffice it to say, someone goes without. All right, me and my brothers looked at each other. Oh, we're not going to do the without, we're going to share. My father was a butcher. Now, we had great steak, we had all good cuts of meat, but we also had some, what today is considered to be exotic meats. Right? Exotic meats. We know that from when we distribute food at the food pantry. If it's an organ meat, if it's anything like that, it's called exotic meat. And we ate that, okay? We would eat tripe. We would eat things like that. Pig's knuckles was one of the, and you know, tongue I could deal with because I didn't realize it was really a tongue. You know, I mean, my goodness, it looks like one. But pig's knuckles, you can't get around the fact that it's pig's knuckles. And so my mother would bring it to the table. There was mashed potatoes, and there would be sauerkraut and the pig's knuckles. And we would make that face, you know, that face. And my mother would say, suffice it to say, you will eat your dinner. Now, it meant that, first of all, my brother and I would look at each other, and we knew the mashed potatoes and the sauerkraut was there for us to be able to bury that in. So it's sort of like you cut it really small that you really don't even have to chew it if you're using your mashed potatoes, which is not really the proper way to eat. But when she would say, suffice it to say, you will eat your dinner, it really meant I could tell you all the reasons why you need to eat this nutritious meal. But it's obvious. So what I'm saying is enough. It's sufficient for you. Paul's being challenged here. His very personhood is being challenged. He doesn't have the right credentials, is what's being said to him. Anybody ever feel that way before? Your credentials are being challenged? Have you ever had that at work? I can remember being given a project at work. I was 25 years old. I had a big project. This is prior to my being a pastor. And everyone around that said, I should have gotten that project. Why did you give it to her? She has no experience. She's a nobody, for goodness sake. Management doesn't even know who she is. And what they're arguing with Paul here is that Paul hasn't had these mystical experiences that we have. Paul doesn't have that verbose, you know, preaching voice. You know, what is Paul? Paul is a nobody. He even says so himself. If you saw me on the street, you'd probably pass me on the street. They're challenging Paul's credibility as a church leader and as a preacher. I can remember the times, and it still does happen to me. First of all, I'm a female preacher. So that right then and there, you will get some folks who will say, you know, you're not supposed to be a preacher. So that will happen. But one time I did have someone call me asking about the church and said to me, do you speak in tongues? And I said, talk a little bit more about that to me so I could understand what the person was saying. You know, if you don't know what I'm talking about in speaking in tongues, then clearly you don't do it. I said, well, I don't know that I've had maybe the experience that you're talking about. She said, well, then you're not a preacher. So I can't come to your church. But so you know what I'm saying? So we run into these. What?
You ate tongue.
But I ate tongue, yes. But we've all had these challenges at work, haven't we? That we're told, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. And so, you know, it's sort of like, well, I wanted to say, but I have a degree, but I have this, but then I, you know, it's sort of like, okay, you know, we want to get caught up in that. And that's what happens with Paul. He says, I am going to defend myself because I feel I have to defend myself because you guys brought this up. But then what happens? He does almost say, suffice it to say, I've had these experiences. But then he goes on to say something more important to him. He talks about his weakness. He talks about the thorn in his side. Now, this is how I know my parents were, I don't know that they're well-versed in the Bible. I was raised Roman Catholic, and so we pretty much, it was what the priest had said to us. But I have heard this on more than one occasion. Marianne, you are a thorn in my side. Have you heard it?
Yes.
You are a thorn in my side. Or perhaps maybe sometimes we've used that on someone else. Well, if you're wondering where thorn in my side has come from, it comes from here. Paul has a thorn in his side. He has no idea. We don't know what it is. He knows what it is. But we don't know. Is it a physical ailment? Is he limping? We think, you know, there's theologians that have said that's what it is. Is it, does he suffer from depression? Is it that agony like Martin Luther went through, that struggle with the devil? We don't know exactly what it is. But here's what we do know. He prayed for God to take it away from him. And it says he prayed three times. Forget the number. He prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Anybody here ever do that? Pray and pray and pray. Take this away from me. And then Paul got his answer. What was his answer? Suffice it to say, Jesus says to him, my grace is enough. My grace is sufficient. Isn't that kind of redundant? Suffice. Sufficient enough it to say, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. It's all you need. It's plenty. Suffice it to say, my strength comes into its own in your weakness. This is what we call the theology of the cross. We have a God who walks with us in our pain. Yes, in our ecstasies, but in our pain is where God's strength comes alive in us, in our weakness. Because we have a God who came and took on an earthly form in Jesus Christ, who knows weakness, who easily could have risen above and said, are you guys kidding me? Take a look at me now in all my glory, but didn't do that. Went all the way to the cross. We have a God who understands pain, physical, emotional. We have a God who had been abandoned by his friends, told that he was nothing. We have a God who understands this. That is the theology of the cross. That where we find God is in those places of weakness, of frailty, when we can't do it anymore, God says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. My strength kicks in when yours does not. We know weakness, don't we? Our pains, our struggles. I look out and I can see your pains and your struggles. We don't do this alone. None of us does this alone. We walk not only with a God who is with us and gives us strength, but with each other. We are a congregation, members, God's children, who walk this journey together because we can't do it by ourselves. Sometimes if we wonder, where are you, God? God says, look in the face of this person. Look in the touch of this person. As you eat, think about the person who prepared that meal. Think about all the doctors that I have trained for this precise moment. If you're not knowing where your next meal is coming from, look at the hand that is bringing that food to you. Those are my children who are with you. I was meeting with George Sherline, who Marlene has saved his space there. George, on the 4th of July, went to see the fireworks, came home, got out of his car, went to the back of his car, his trunk, to take out water, which he always keeps with him in case of emergency. And something happens. He's not sure what happened, but the next thing he knows, he was falling down, sliding along the side of the car, scraped up all of his arms, and was on the ground. Laid there for a while, was able to pull himself together, get up, wrap up his arms from all the bleeding, and walk to his apartment at the Brenity.
Up a flight of stairs.
George doesn't take the elevator, up a flight of stairs. George is unable to sleep. He's in a lot of pain all night long. At about 5 o'clock in the morning, he gets up and said, I'm going to drive myself to the hospital. As he's attempting to put on his pants, he said, I can't do this. And he calls 911, and they come and get him. They bring him to the hospital. They run tests, and they determine he has a cracked pelvis.
Oh,
so as he's laying in his hospital room, and I'm visiting him, he said to me, God's grace is enough. God's grace is sufficient. It is in my weakness that God's strength comes through. I said, George, I'm preaching on that on Sunday. He said, it's from 2 Corinthians. He said, I am holding on to that. That is what is helping me get through this time. These words matter to us. Mary, who is here with us today, has been struggling with her broken shoulder. It's been a difficult journey. Jeannie is going through treatment for cancer. Steve will be starting treatment for cancer. All of you have unique stories of losses of loved ones in our lives, of struggles that we have, and of fears that we have. We don't go through this alone because it is in our weakness that Christ takes over, that the Holy Spirit comes and fills us. As George said, suffice it to say, I'll add, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is enough. Suffice it to say, it is when we are weak that God can do what God does, and that is give us the very strength that we need. Suffice it to say, Amen.